Are you a cake maker running a business or a business owner making cakes? Hi, I'm Sammy.
Hi, I'm Bronya, and welcome to the Business of Cake Making. Hi, welcome to Season 2, Episode 3 of the Business of Cake Making. Today we are talking all about pricing, and it's just me and Sammy chatting today about our experience and how we price things up. We're not going to tell you what to charge. We are going to tell you how to charge. You've got to remember, when you're making cakes, you're doing this as a business and it's all about profit. So you need to make sure that you are making money, not doing it just for the love of it. So let's get right in and I hope you enjoy.
Hello, everybody. And welcome to the Business of Cake Making. Today we haven't got any guests. And we're just going to be talking about pricing. So obviously I have with me the wonderful, amazing Bronya. Hello, Bronya.
Hello. Hello.
And I'm Sammy. So welcome to the Business of Cake Making.
Hello. This is a meaty old subject, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's not something that is top of my list. It's not my favourite. So I think that's a brilliant thing that you have chosen for us to go talk about today.
It's that thing that everyone avoids talking about, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. And plus as well, we're quite English. So, you know, pricing and all of that. The price. It's
Yeah.
It doesn't.
Yeah. So how much is that going to cost? Oh, I don't know. How much do you want to pay?
Yeah, that is perfect. Yeah, I've said that so many times, especially to friends as well, when they go, oh, can you do me a cake? It's like, oh, how much do you want to pay? So,
yeah.
But you shouldn't have to say it like that. You should say it.
I think we should first say, though, we're not telling people how much to charge.
No.
We're not saying that an 8-inch should be this amount. And, you know, that's not what we're doing here. And I also would like to say, can we just start by saying there are lots of Facebook groups out there that you see a cake put up and someone say, how much for this? Please don't get into that.
No, because everybody is different. Everybody works differently. And
yeah,
you can't quantify one person saying one price, one person saying the other, because it's...
No, market forces are different. People are different. Please don't get involved in Facebook groups that say that. Please learn how to price your cakes yourself. Yeah, so it's a complete change of mindset. What you're doing is you have got to remember you are running a business. You have to pay yourself a wage. The absolute minimum is that you pay yourself the minimum wage and you need to cover your costs. It should not be costing you to make a cake for someone else.
No.
Have you
ever made a cake for a friend and charged them £20, which is what I did, and you know that you're just giving that cake to them as a present, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, all your time. You've just spent all that time
for
goodwill
days.
And from the kindness out of your own heart. Yeah. You've just handed that over to them.
Mate, I made a pub once.
A pub?
Yeah, it was like for a friend. It was a massive pub. So I made a model of the pub, and I think that was 20 quid, and it took me days to do.
Really?
Yeah, I would not do that in a million years now.
Good. But you do it when you start out because you think, oh, it's kind of, you know, it's going to build your word of mouth, it's going to build your portfolio and everything, don't you? That's how you start.
Yeah, but I'm not sure.
But we'll come on to that later.
Yes.
We'll come on to that building your portfolio later, because that's a whole other subject that will get you, you'll come a cropper from doing it. Okay. Right. So how do we go about starting to price our cake?
Well, obviously you need to cost all the ingredients that you're buying. Are you buying top quality ingredients or middle of the road? Or if you're going to do a really, really cheap cake, you'd buy the cheaper ingredients, because then,
yeah,
you know, it works out profit wise. That's how I do it.
Yeah, you need to. Yeah, your cost of sales is and everyone has different cost of sales, like you say, because depending on where they're buying. And if you've got room, so for example, if you, like when we had the shop, we had room for me to go and buy big things, bulk. Flour and sugar, and so so bulk buying. And I think we used to have it delivered as well. There was that guy from Portsmouth who used to deliver it. He was really cheap, but we could only do that because we could bulk buy. Yeah. So you've everything, all that's got. So you've got to know the actual cost of your of your stuff, and boards and boxes as well. If you can buy boards and boxes in bulk,
Ribbon as well. It's my Mark, my husband, said to me the other day that if it's annoying as it is buying bulk, it's more annoying running out and then having to do two or three smaller journeys.
Yeah.
Therefore, you're wasting your time and your money buying the smaller things. Because, I mean, we don't have the room here to store lots of things in bulk. But things like glue sticks or your ribbon or your boards and boxes, it's always handy to make sure you've got those. But sorry, I'm digressing again.
But no, you're right. If there's like a with ribbons, I know we used to always have at the shop, we used to always have a roll of the slight off-white ribbon that if we didn't have a colour, I mean, we were really lucky, obviously, we were next door to a haberdashery with ribbon, with ribbons there all the time. But if they were shut for some reason, we would always have a big roll of that standard off-white that you could put around the bottom of the board, and it would suit every cake,
right?
And it meant that we didn't have to go running out to Hobbycraft, which, like you say, would cost time, would cost you petrol, you know. So having that all thought ahead,
also when you do it like that, they never have the one that you want, so you end up buying a more expensive one as well.
Everything. And I mean, in the early, I mean, I think now me and you probably know the cost of making a cake. You know, I could probably tell you, not to the nearest penny, but I could tell you pretty accurately how much it would cost in ingredients, board, box, ribbon, fondant, how much it would cost to make, say, an 8-inch cake for me. But in the early days, if you're not confident with that, put it all in a spreadsheet. Break it down as much as you can.
And you know, spreadsheets are amazing, but they're not my forte. But I, when I first started doing this, I have got a special sheet that I printed out that helped you list it all down. So it was just a printout, really. And I use it so that I know how much flour I've used, and then you can work out the profits because you divide it by something, and I can't do it off the top of my head. But it just gives you to the exact penny how much those ingredients are costing you.
Yeah, because if you don't know how much your cake costs, how do you know how much to charge for a cake? And you could be charging £20 for a cake, and actually it's cost you £25 in ingredients alone.
Definitely. And you have to also counter in the overheads, which would be the electricity, the gas, telephone, things like that.
There's so much that people don't think about on overheads, isn't there? So much.
Insurance as well. You have to
your computer and your broadband. Someone has to pay for your broadband. Mobile telephone.
Your car insurance. Your wear and tear on your car as well.
Just using the car. You need to factor that in, definitely. Your taxes and national insurance. So there's that saying, three things you know in life: that you'll be born, you'll pay taxes, you'll die.
I've not heard that, but I like it. You know?
But it's true, isn't it? That's the three definite things in life that you will do.
So, for sure.
But you were saying earlier that you knew all about national insurance because you'd looked into it just today.
Yes. So I was a bit worried because I haven't really paid attention to my national insurance. So I've went in and Googled it and everything. And there's two types. You've got class two. There are more types, but these tend to be the ones that would apply to us. So you've got class two, which I think is you earn your earnings are after under 7,500, I think it said. And class two, you pay £3.05 a week. But with class three, you're paying £15.30 a week. And that's if you're earning more. So for your national insurance, this covers you if you have to claim, say, like universal credit or your state pension when you retire. This is what this is going towards. So in my case, you can go back, because I know I haven't paid enough. You can actually go back to the years that you haven't paid enough, and it shows you, and then you can just top up that those years.
So is that what my mum used to call paying her stamp?
Yes.
So when she went off on maternity leave and she didn't pay her national insurance, I mean, we're obviously talking like 50 years ago, she topped it up by paying her stamp. That must be the same thing then.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So this is something that is very, very important. If you're not, if you're self-employed as we are, or if you're not claiming any benefits or anything like that, if you're not paying your national insurance, it could affect you if at times you do need to claim.
I think I'd also say similar thing with taxes, and I think the taxes has been really shown up in during the pandemic, the COVID-19 pandemic, in that there have been businesses that have had creative accounting, let's put it, that they've kind of hidden a lot away, hidden their actual earnings away as expenses. So when it's come to the government saying, right, well, we will pay up to £2,500 per month of your earnings, their accounting has shown that they're not earning, so they're not getting it back. Now, I know we're possibly never going to be stuck in another pandemic, but who knows?
Yeah.
Those people haven't been able to claim as much as they've actually been earning because they've creatively lost it in amongst their accounting.
They must be devastated, but it just shows that you have to be so diligent on your finances, because
you have to be honest.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, because karma will always come and bite you on the bum.
It certainly will. So I mean, I was part of a seminar a little while ago, and they were talking about taxes, and they said basically when you get payment in for something, take off the percentage that's your tax, because that's not yours, that's never been yours, it never will be yours, that's going to the tax man. Take it off to start with, then you'll never know about it.
That's
put it somewhere else.
That is a clever bit of advice.
Yeah, because it's not yours.
No.
It's so easy
to do it whilst you have the money rather than spending it and then getting your bill and thinking, why did I do it?
Damn. But there's so much in the overheads, and I think when people are looking to price their cakes, they just think of the cost of sales, which is the general ingredients. They don't think about all the other little bits and pieces. Because we've got some more here as well.
Yes, I'm going to let you read them.
I've got it on my computer screen. Yeah. So we've got advertising costs. So if you're doing a wedding fair, that needs to be evened out over the year. And it's not just, so if say you pay £50 for a wedding fair, you know, wedding fairs vary, but if say you pay £50 for a wedding fair, you don't just slap that onto the one cake that you get from the wedding fair. You put that cost across all the cakes that you're selling that year. Because that wedding fair will benefit you on word of mouth for other things. So that's, you know, that's one of your costs. Cost of training. So if you've done any courses, if you have a subscription service like Cakeflix or something like that, you know, that's benefiting your business. And the cost of things like networking. So if you go to a networking thing, or if you do something like go to Cake International.
Yeah, that's very expensive cost for me.
It is when you buy stuff. But you know, I know you buy, you're buying things at Cake International, like equipment, which you can put against your cost of sales. But just being there and
another
learning.
One actually, I have an accounting system called Cashflow, and I pay them a monthly fee, £18 a month, which you know, is another thing that you, that it all builds up, and you have to make sure you write every single one down that you're spending on. Magazine subscription to Cake Masters magazine.
I'm also a member of the Wedding Breakfast Club, which is £15 per month.
I'm a member of the Daisy Chain Group, the Hampshire Woman Business Women's Networking Group. So, and even though you're going, oh, is this an expense I need to make? I've learned and gained so much from being a part of that group. That it is, I think it is necessity. It has helped me in my business a lot.
Yeah,
the little things, that, definitely.
And that's got to go across every single cake you make.
Yeah,
you know, that's got to be factored in.
Yeah,
to everything. So overheads. Write down every single overhead you've got, and work out what percentage. So things like car and telephone and all that. Work out a percentage of what is your business, and put that down for your accounting, and make sure your prices reflect it.
Yeah, definitely. And don't be afraid to price your cake how you feel it should be priced. If you've sat down and worked it out, you're going to make a 6-inch cake, and you've got all these ingredients, and you are, personally, how I do it is I have a set price for my sizes of cakes, and then that includes some decoration and the cake, obviously. But what if they want a model, say like a little man sat on the side of the cake? How long is it going to take you to make that model? If you're going to make it well, it takes me about an hour, 2 hours to sit and make one.
Takes me about five. I don't do models.
And the same with the sugar flowers. You have to go to yourself. Do you want to work for peanuts, or do you want to work for caviar? You know.
This is the whole time thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know that you have to be realistic with your time, with how much you're going to make. I mean, I personally, and I know this isn't the same for everyone, but personally, I've started to make less and less sugar flowers. I love making sugar flowers, but I've started to make fewer of them because I can't justify the time involved in making them, because people don't want to pay it, I find. And I have heard cake makers say things like, oh, it's a labor of love. Well, I'm sorry, if you're in business, you're not doing it for love.
No.
You should love what you do in business.
I've got,
but you shouldn't be paying with love.
Yeah, I've got to make a lot of flowers this week, and I have accounted for that time in there when I've given my quotes to the customer.
If someone's willing to pay it, I'll make them all day, and I really will, because I do love making them. Yeah. But yeah, someone's willing to pay it. But so what I'd say is always pay yourself a minimum wage. Be really accurate with your timings and pay yourself a minimum wage. But the other thing I would say is, now I've been making cakes for 10 years. If I was working, say, as if I was working in another business and I went in with 10 years experience, I wouldn't expect to be on minimum wage.
No.
I would expect to be on a higher wage than that. So therefore, I think my cake prices should reflect that you're getting my experience, and my time should cost more than that minimum wage.
Most definitely. And
because I've also done courses and I've learnt more, and you know.
And you've won awards as well.
Yes. Makes a big difference.
It does.
It really does.
You're not getting a cake that is from a starter or an apprentice, say.
Yeah.
You're getting a cake from a professional person. I've just looked it up. I was going to say the national minimum wage is set to – oh, so this was from the 1st of April 2020. For those aged over 25, which is just about me, is £8.21 and is set to increase by 51p to £8.72.
Wow.
So, and that's
how many cake makers can genuinely say they are paying themselves at least £8.21 per hour?
Yeah, not many.
I'd be really interested. No, yeah. I'd be really interested about that.
Yeah,
definitely. But it's a little bit like you know when you go and have your hair cut and you go into a salon. Not that many of us have done this recently, but you go into a salon and they go, well, you can have the senior stylist and your haircut will cost X amount, or you can have the junior stylist. And it's not to say that the junior stylist is rubbish.
Yeah,
they just don't have the experience of the senior. And you pay accordingly, don't you?
Yeah, definitely.
And so I think that people have to, you have to factor that in. You really do.
Yeah. I was on TikTok this morning and I tried to find the video I saw to send it across to you so you could link it. But it was two girls who had a painting and decorating small business saying you pay for what you get. If you want your job to look amazing and be high quality, you're going to pay a little bit more. If you haven't got much money and you don't want to part with your cash, you could end up with you pay for what you get. It's like going to Asda to get your cake. You go and buy an Asda birthday cake, you'll get a 2-inch high, bland, sweet thing with bits falling off it. Or come to us, the professionals, and you're paying for what you'll get. You're paying for a better service.
Yeah, you're paying for someone that loves what they're doing in their own kitchen, making things from scratch, putting all the love and effort into it. And also, if that cake goes wrong, really sweating it and remaking it and putting the effort in. And the whole last thing, I remember when we had the shop and somebody came in and we'd made a minion cake, you know, the cakes in the shape of a minion, all the rage. And she asked me for the price. Now, I remember we were undercharging. I look back now and we were undercharging, and I quoted her £70. And she turned around and went, well, I could get that cheaper in Asda. And I had to say to her, well, you need to go to Asda because I'm not going to compete with them.
No.
I can't compete with Asda. Go to Asda. You will get what you pay for.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a perfect example.
You know, don't ever be intimidated by people that say, but it's just a cake.
Yeah. if you don't want that customer and they're going to, but I don't want to pay that. I want to pay £50 for a £100 cake. Then they need to go somewhere else because.
Yes.
You would hate making, if you go to the customer, okay, I'll do your cake for £50. Whilst you're making that cake, you will hate it. You will despise the cake. And then they are normally the customers who will complain when they come to pick the cake up.
Yeah.
Because
it's not what they're expecting.
Yeah.
And it probably isn't what they're expecting because you haven't put the love and effort into it that you probably should have done.
Definitely.
But yeah, and also I think and hopefully we're going to do a podcast on an episode on this about imposter syndrome and I think as a female led industry we are notoriously bad at charging our worth.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, like the building industry, for example, I'll give you an example. We had someone around this weekend to cut our hedge at the back of our garden. And he came along and it's not a massive hedge and he quoted us £75 and we both went, oh yeah, that's quite good. Now it probably took him an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And I know there are hidden costs like there would be with us.
Yeah.
So there are hidden costs that he has to buy equipment. He has to then get rid of all the cuttings.
Oh, yeah. And insurance
and all that. Yeah. So he's got the same hidden costs that we have.
Yeah.
And I remember saying to Jules, my husband, I said, if that was a cake maker, 1.5 hours work, someone would say, but it's just a cake. And Jules said to me, went, yeah, but that's really hard work cutting that hedge. And I'm like,
what? And
it's me?
Not making a cake. It takes
exactly
way longer than an hour and a half to make a cake.
So I think that there is a certain element of it's just a cake, yeah, even from someone that has lived with me making cakes for 10 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, you wouldn't say to a plumber, but it's just a leaky pipe.
Yeah. No, that's you'd get, true. You'd pay. You've got water spurting out everywhere. You're going to pay to get that sorted.
Exactly. Yeah. You want a good birthday cake. Yeah. You've got to pay for a good birthday cake.
You want the wow factor.
Yeah, exactly. But there's also all the hidden time as well, isn't there? You know, like we were saying about the overheads, there's all that hidden time, that time of the admin time, the emails, the chasing payments.
On a wedding consultation, I don't charge for my wedding consultations. I make them 3 samples of cake. They come, they spend an hour of time, and they may not book with me. But I'm quite happy to do that, as it's all part of the service. I want to make sure that their wedding cake is as memorable, the whole experience. So. Yeah. That they're the hidden costs. Traveling, definitely. When you're going to set up a wedding cake, you travel there. You're going to drive. Sometimes with me, mine's an hour. I have an hour perimeter. That's as far as I travel. So that's an hour there and an hour back. You're sat in a car. And then possibly an hour, maybe more, setting up your cake.
Set up. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it all counts. It really does all count. But also, I mean, the traveling, just going to get your ingredients.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like we were saying earlier, if you buy in bulk and you don't have to go out as often, that is more economical.
Especially than going, at the moment, with the lockdown queues when you go to Asda.
Yeah, let's just add another half an hour to it. But that half an hour, you know, and if you're looking at minimum wage, that half an hour is £4.10 you've just spent in that queue.
Yeah.
Because you've run out of icing sugar, you know?
Yeah. And it's the third shop you've been to.
Yeah. So don't forget to add in all your hidden time. Cost it all up properly. Right. Can we talk a bit about profit?
Okay, now this is more your forte, I think.
Okay, right. Because I think we need to explain that your wages is not your profit. Okay, which I think is very difficult for a lot of people to understand. And it was difficult for me to understand. And I went to a seminar with some people a few months back. And it was called Profit. It was about a book called Profit First, and it was all based around this. And basically, profit is not your wages. So they put it in the context of, if you were looking at a supermarket, you would have your cost of sales, which is all your goods that you're buying in.
Yeah.
You would have all your overheads, which is your rent, your electricity, and all that. Then you have your wage bill. So Sainsbury's would have a wage bill. And then on top of that, you have your profit.
Ah, that's very interesting.
See what I mean? So your profit is something, and again, they were saying, choose a percentage, probably out of the air, knowing most people, but choose a percentage, and like your taxes, put that to one side. So say, for example, you sold a cake for £80, you decided your profit was going to be 10%.
Yeah.
So you instantly put aside £8.
Yeah.
Because if you can live on £80 from that cake, you can live on £72 from that cake.
Yeah.
And so that £8 gets put aside, and then you can plough that back into your business. You can buy equipment. You know, you can get some extra advertising that you possibly wouldn't have done.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
New ovens.
New ovens. Yes. Stamps.
Yes.
She says to someone that's just bought sweet stamps. But I know initially in your initial years, profit's difficult to think about.
Yeah.
But I think you should always have it in your back of mind that your profit is not your wage.
No.
It's something extra for
and
your
it
business.
It is very, very important to put that money away. Because even if it's £8 here and £8 there, it will soon build up, because there's nothing nicer than going to your bank account and going, I earned that.
Yes.
That's my profit. It's sat in the bank account.
Just over lockdown. So I've got a bank account, which is a Starling bank account. Mm-hmm. And I'm not selling this. This is just my bank account is a Starling bank account. It has something in it called spaces. Mm-hmm. So you can set up a space called profit. So anytime money comes in, you instantly put money into a space. So you can put money into a tax space. You can put money into a profit space, whatever you want. So that takes it out of your general balance because it's in this space. And I know other people that have got actual multiple bank accounts that they move things around.
Yeah, it sounds a bit like my new account that we have opened with Monzo, which has lots of separate folders that you can create your own. So like I could have savings, holidays, car, Christmas, same.
Sounds exactly the same. So you take the money away from your main account as such. But I mean, I know just in lockdown, just by doing odd bits and pieces, I did like home bake kits. I did like a few like little bits and pieces. I think in my profit space, I've got about £160 from that.
Wow. That's not bad.
And that's just exactly. And that's just little bits and pieces that have been coming in that I've gone, I think I've been putting 20% away.
Yeah.
So little bits and pieces that have been coming in. It means that at the end of lockdown, I've actually got a profit that I can say that's what I earned during lockdown as a profit.
That is brilliant. So, you took more of a profit.
Makes me feel good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Makes me feel good.
And do you know what? That's what it's all about, because you don't want to feel, I hate doing this, I don't ever get any money.
Exactly.
You want to feel, I'm superwoman. I've made this money and I'm in profit. My business is amazing. That's what you want.
Because what's the point of doing it to feel bad? And what's the point of doing it to either not make any money, not pay yourself, because you're not a charity.
Yeah, or not feel your worth. So making cake after cake for people who don't appreciate it and who are undercharging. Like when I at the beginning of the year, I had a lot of friends' birthdays, and it just felt like, why am I doing this again?
Yeah.
Why am I making another cake for a friend? I love my friends to death. I love them. But there's only so many cakes you can bake them.
To be honest, at the end of the day, you'd rather just go out and buy them a gift. It's easier.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. And there's more love in it. So.
Right. So we have some key bits of advice that we've listed as well, haven't we?
Yes.
Right. Do you want to go first? Have you got your notes?
Yeah. What? The bit that says advice.
That's the one.
You used a different word, so you confused me.
I'm sorry.
Okay. So learn to say no and learn to walk away from cakes that are too cheap and customers who don't understand your worth or make you feel uncomfortable.
Yes. Yeah. Being, because another bit of advice we've said is negotiate, but never be beaten down to an unreasonable price. So if a customer is making you feel bad for not getting down to their price, walk away, say no. Say it's not a cake I want to make.
And once you've walked away, it's gone.
Yeah.
And you'll feel better for it.
And there will always, always, always be cheaper cake makers than you. Always.
Yeah. Just let it go. If you don't want to do
when we had the shop, there was another shop nearby and they would always undercut us. Every single time they would undercut us. And I remember we had a few wedding cake people that came in and had consultations and then said, no, we found it cheaper elsewhere. And we would see it on this other cake shop's Facebook page.
Yeah.
And we could see why they were cheaper.
Yeah.
Not wanting to be nasty about it, but we could see why they were cheaper.
Yeah.
But it happens. There will always be someone else that's cheaper. The cheaper people aren't your clients. They're not your ideal clients, going back to ideal client.
No. Yeah. And you definitely need an ideal client.
What was our last bit of advice?
This one, I've just done this, actually. If you decide to make a cake too cheap because you really want it in your portfolio, do so with advice. Other people will find out that you are undercharged and will expect the same, which you don't want. So I've just agreed to do a Gruffalo cake for £20 cheaper than I should be doing, because I've never done a Gruffalo cake and I've always really wanted to do one. So we've tweaked it and we've made it fit, and I'm going to make it for her, and I shall do it.
But you know what you're doing there. You do know what you know. You understand.
And I told her, and she understood that as well. Definitely.
Yes. Yeah. That's make sure you're managing the expectations of your client then. So if you're doing it cheap because you want to do it, make sure your client knows that.
Yeah.
You know, make sure your client knows that next time they come to you, you're not going to be
that's
price.
Right. You're not shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah.
Doing
yeah.
That.
And because the other thing is that, I mean, I know that I've made cakes in the past that I've really wanted to make. So I've sort of like gone, okay, you can have it slightly cheaper. They've taken it to a party. All the mums have gone, wow, that's really good. And she's gone, yeah. And it was really, really reasonable as well. And all of a sudden I have all these mums coming to me expecting the same price.
Yeah. No, that is not something that you want.
Yeah. So, yeah, make sure your client knows that you are doing this.
On this case, she came to me, she told me what she wanted, and I gave her the price that it should be. Then she came back to me and said, oh, I'm really sorry, I'm not going to be able to come with you because this is my budget. So that's why we've worked around it, because I wanted to do it roughly.
Okay.
So, yeah, same.
But also, actually, we never really spoke about budgets, customer budgets. So hopefully this will all help in actually breaking down costing a cake. But like we said right at the beginning, we're really bad in England for talking about pricing.
Yeah.
But I think you do have to ask your customer what their budget is, because it's a little bit like taking someone out in a test drive in a Ferrari when they've got a budget for a Fiesta.
Yeah. So how I've been dealing with this is when they say, hello, do you have availability for a cake on this date? They've not given me any details apart from the date. So when I go back to them, I give them example. At the moment, because of lockdown, I've gone down to a smaller size because most people are having smaller cakes. So I'll say...
Yeah, because you've got a question why someone want a big cake anyway, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll go, this is how much my 6-inch cut costs. It starts at this, and this is how many portions you get if you have this, that, and the other. And then I might give them the next size up price as well. And then that gives them, they can go look at that and go, oh my God, she's so cheap. And then they'll book it anyway. Or they'll go, I don't have anything to do with that lady.
It's just being upfront about it. Because the thing is, if you're upfront about it, because I've actually got prices on my website. I've actually got some cakes that people can buy online. Mm. And people don't tend to book online. But what they do is they can see the prices. So they can see a 5-inch costs X amount and a 6-inch costs X amount. And it will feed this many people. And that's that style. But it starts from the very beginning being upfront. This is what I charge. Don't expect me to be any cheaper. You won't spend time on them.
Yeah. And as uncomfortable as it makes you feel, just ignore those feelings and go with how you really want to charge them, your gut instinct.
Yes.
Because you don't, I hate that feeling of, why am I making this cake? That's the worst.
Yeah. Why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Why am I doing this?
Why have I said yes? Why have I been nice? That's what it is.
Stop being so nice.
You're too nice. So don't be nice.
You can't be nice in business.
No. Don't underprice yourself.
Don't be nice. No. Charge your worth. Absolutely charge your worth.
And give the advice. Sorry, I've just gone off on one now.
Go on.
Give the advice. So you wouldn't, if somebody came to you and said, oh, I only earn £5 an hour, you'd be all up in arms going, well, you should earn more than that. Do this, that, and the other.
Exactly.
You should take your own advice.
Exactly. Charge your worth. Charge a minimum wage at the very, very least. Cover all your costs and be just be realistic about how long this is going to take you.
Yeah.
Oh, I think we've covered everything. I think we've got a little bit heated at the end there.
Yeah. Oh, I'm all hot and flustered. Do you know, the whole time I've been talking to you, I've stuffed pens into my hair and my enthusiasm, and I'm sat here going, where are all my pens? And they're all tucked neatly into my bun at the back of my head.
I'm picturing it now. Yeah. So we've covered everything we can. I'm going to write a blog post about this, and I'm also going to write a list of things that everyone should be costing into cakes. So keep an eye on our blog about this as well.
Because it's interesting.
It is. It sounds like a really dry subject, pricing, and it's a subject that a lot of people shy away from, but you're in business, and that's what we're in business to do, is actually, at the end of the day, earn a living.
Yeah.
And make awesome cakes, obviously.
Yeah. Every time.
Right. Well, that's it for today's episode. Thank you for joining us. If you would like to follow us on Instagram, we are at The Business of Cake Making. If you want to pick up the show notes, go to daisycakecompany.co.uk and click on podcast. And like I say, I'm going to be doing much more blogging about it. So click on the blog and there'll be lots of advice on the blog and some downloadables and printables and bits and pieces as well. If you want to review us on iTunes, that would be very nice. Thank you very much. Please share with your friends, subscribe wherever you are, and we look forward to seeing you next time. Talking to you next time.
Talking to you next time.
See you next time. Bye.
Bye.